Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Chris Canty in for Key today. Morning, guys.
Yo, what up, baby?
What's happening, man?
Well, what a calm down, NBA. Some action last night. Settle down. We're winding down the season here. Someone didn't get the memo.
No, we're turning up the season.
No, yeah, we're getting ready for the real season. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest, man. When 20 out of 30 teams are still playing postseason, call the play-in, playoff, whatever you want, 20 out of 30 teams, we know when the real season begins. It's about, and they're ramping up. Giannis blocks Embiid with 1.6 remaining to seal the game. Did he just win the MVP for Jokic? Because it's Giannis, it's Jokic and Embiid down the stretch. I mean, Bucks are second in the East. Sixers, they're tightly packed, fall to fourth. By the way, quiet as kept, Giannis, who's won two MVPs and a Finals MVP, better PER for what that's worth than Embiid. Just got him head-to-head. Just got him at the last play of the game. I mean, like, that stuff leaves an impression in MVP voters' minds. Paul George returns to the Clippers. They win 121-115 over the Jazz, but they were down by as many as 25, and PG-13 had 34, including 26 in the second half and 20 in the third quarter. That's a way you return. And look, the Lakers, let me tell you something. I knew, I don't remember if it was the first two plays, it was two of the first couple of plays of the game. Yep. Doncic, who's a wizard, I get it, but he, so to speak, but he had two uncontested layups that were just like, it was Swiss cheese defense from the Lakers where it was like, okay, I know how this goes. Westbrook winds up with 25, 8, and 6 assists, but was part of LA being outscored by 25 in the 32 minutes he was on the floor. He was a minus 25. And then had this exchange. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. This exchange with a reporter postgame.
What do you think should change?
Winning. Be dumping.
Okay, that's obvious. What do you think should change?
Winning. Winning games, playing hard. Mm-hmm. You ask the question like you've been answered.
That's fine. You got to answer the winning?
Aye.
You have to answer the winning?
I'm not out there playing. Maybe I think I'm... You give me the answer what you think should be.
Exactly.
So, well,
I don't have the answer.
You
know, exactly.
If so, you don't have it, you out there,
so
I can't
you
have it
me, why you ask me, do I have an answer? You don't have it either.
Well, but I don't play, Russell. If you, I want to get the information from you so that
I'm only one person, champ.
Right.
It's a team game. So right. I don't have an answer.
Okay.
I may have it.
I don't have it.
So good.
But I'm asking the pros who know the game, play the game, what you guys, what you think you can do to make it your point, their point, everybody's point.
Sure.
That's what I'm asking.
No, I really am. I respect that.
Man, the thing I love about that, Jay, Chris, is, and this is hard for me because Westbrook's always been one of my favorite players. I never thought he's the best player.
He still is one of my favorite players.
Yeah, I said always been.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's why it's hard for me, because he gives everything. Whatever he has, he gives you. I appreciate that every single night. But, Jay, he sometimes does, especially postgame, this passive-aggressive flipping it on the media thing, And this dude's like, the reporter's like, excuse me, we're going to turn this right back around. I'm not the pro, brother. Like, what is it?
Max,
y'all are losing.
Man, have you ever been part of a losing culture?
I have.
It sucks. Every day you're having meetings. Every day somebody's pointing the finger. Every day there's jockeying for position. Every day you're wondering who politically is going to edge somebody out. And then when you lose games and you have to be the person at the podium saying, hey, what are the answers? I don't have the damn answers. What the hell do we have a coaching staff for? What's up with Rob Pelinka? And I'm not making excuses for Russell Westbrook because I wouldn't point the fingers. I wouldn't be passive aggressive towards media members. I wouldn't say, well, I'm already a champion in life because I know that people want me to answer about basketball. But I do want to put this thing into perspective for people. Russell Westbrook did average a triple-double for three consecutive seasons.
For three seasons?
And I know that it's going to be hard for people to compartmentalize what's happening with the Lakers right now. But I also look at LeBron James. I look at Rob Pelinka. Russell Westbrook is, to a degree, a poor man's version of LeBron. So what pieces are you surrounding these guys with? Once again, not making excuses, CC, for the lack of production that he's bringing to the table. But we need to stop putting all the onus, like, hey, Russell, every day it's your fault, because right now it's part of the Russell Westbrook reality TV show that LA we become infatuated with because it's drama. It's a car crash every day.
But here's the thing, though, and I hear everything you're saying, Jay, but it's not like we don't know that this is a poorly constructed roster. It's not like we don't know that Rob Pelinka didn't do a great job of putting together the pieces in order for this team to contend at a championship level and to take advantage of LeBron in the twilight of his career. The only thing that I'm asking Russell Westbrook to do is to have some awareness. Understand that tone and tact matter when you're delivering your post-game press conference address. The fact that you answer a question with a question in the fashion that he did it, there's no reason to be passive-aggressive against media members. They got a job to do.
So when they
ask you what's wrong or what needs to change, you give your honest assessment on what you think it is. Or if you don't have the answer, say you don't have the answer, but don't turn it around on them and say, well, what do you think needs to change? That's not the way to go.
I'm in the same book with you, but this is who Russ has always been, CC.
And that's fair, but you can do that when you're averaging a triple-double for three straight seasons. You can't do that when you're minus 25 in 32 minutes. That's the whole point. You have to be able to have some kind of accountability. And here's what I'll say, and this is media training 101 for professional athletes. If a media member asks you a question about what needs to change, and you say, I absolutely need to be better, where does the conversation go? Nowhere. If you're Russell Westbrook, why not do that? We already know how accomplished you are in this league. You're an MVP. You don't have to remind us. Your credentials speak for themselves. All I'm saying is, Max, as a Lakers fan, that's not the tone that I would want.
Agreed. And by the way,
the only star that I have playing that night on that floor to take with the media.
Agreed. But as you're saying that, Chris, actually, you're having me think about it in a way I don't think you intend, but you tell me. And Jay, if Westbrook knows what you said earlier, this is what I said yesterday, and I said it on this Just In. Fantastic show, by the way, 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Handsome host. It's true. I don't know if you've seen this.
Still
guy.
Doing the same plug over a year now.
But the point is that Westbrook is the reason LeBron brings him to L.A. is not because the pieces fit with him and A.D., right? It's because he recognizes A.D. and me missed time. A.D. always and me nowadays, LeBron, right? We need someone to carry the team in our absence. Not a Buddy Hield who can shoot, but a guy who can carry the team to keep us afloat. But here's the thing. The roster construction has so few shooters, so few 3 and D guys even, it's bad for LeBron. So if you take LeBron out and put LeBron light in, if it's bad for LeBron and he can't win with these dudes, Westbrook is set up to look as bad as possible. So when he answers that question, Jay, is he supposed to say, man, look, I know I look terrible. And he's saying every day, everyone knows they're losing every game. Is he supposed to say, y'all didn't put any shooters around me? What you want me to do? At a certain point,
no.
He feels framed, I'm sure.
But here's the thing, Max. When I say you answer the question, I'm not saying that you absolutely have to tell the truth. I'm not saying that at all.
But, CeCe, now you're asking my man to be a politician. So here's what I'm saying.
In a leadership position, you have to do that at some point.
But Russell Westbrook is not a leader like that. He's not a LeBron James. Russell Westbrook is a hired assassin. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Like, Russell Westbrook isn't, hey, something really incredible happens. Russ, get in front of the mic and please address the crowd. No. Russell's the dude that you have do the dirty work in the shadows. Like, that's who he is. So, like, my thing is, Russell has told us who he is his entire career. I'm not making excuses for him, CeCe. I would have handled things drastically different. But we act like we're supposed to change who dudes are. Yeah. Like, you're not going to change who he is, man. This has always been who he is.
No, I'm not saying we're going to change who he is. But as a Lakers fan and seeing how bad it was yesterday when the Dallas Mavs led wire to wire and we were trailing by as many as 37 at one point in this game, this Lakers team is non-competitive. And the last thing I want to hear from the only superstar that was on the court last night for my team
is passive-aggressive.
Is the way that he responded in the post-game press conference. And this is not the first time that we've heard that from Russell Westbrook.
This becomes a distraction. And he is self-inflicted. Yeah, I understand.
This has been all season with Russ.
We spend the whole time talking about this. You know what we're not doing? Talking about the game and all the non-adjustments that Frank Vogel didn't make.
That's my point.
How many adjustments? They had 82 points in the first half for the Dallas Mavericks. When are we going to focus on the team?
Jay, you're absolutely right. It was the most points given up by a Lakers team since the 1950s when they were the Minnesota Lakers.
Guys, when it was 13-4, I put on Winning Time. I'm a Lakers fan, and I suggest all.
You enjoyed that a lot more.
Oh
Max.
My God!
You enjoyed that a lot
First
more.
Of all,
I can promise
the Perlman
you.
Book was so enjoyable. It's just if you're a sports fan, it's the type of stuff you geek out on, even if you're not a Lakers fan. And the show is just like it. It's just every part of it's so juicy. You know, you love it. Anyway, Lakers fans, that's what I recommend. Next time they fall, you see, I didn't know they were going to give up 82 in the first half, but Luka Doncic, uncontested layup, uncontested layup.
Filthy.
Winning time, winning time. All
right. More like better times, right?
Better
Max?
Times.
Oh, my God.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. One NFL owner just absolutely owned his former quarterback. That's next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. It's all right. I'm not. Listen.
Own it, man. You're here.
Own it
here.
Here's the thing. Getting old. Oh, getting older is terrible, right?
It's beautiful.
So I had two grandfathers, right? One's from the old country, as they say. And my one grandfather, who's getting older, was once teetering for a second. I had to catch him to help him catch his balance. He looked at me and he says, never get old, right? So I told my other grandfather what he said. Zeta, that's grandfather in Yiddish. I said, Zeta, my grandpa told me, you know, never get old. He said, what, he wants you should die? Like, in other words, that beats the alternative, man. I'm not ashamed of being 48 or 78 or whatever you are, man. Beats the alternative.
Max, that sounds good until you got to get up in the morning after you played 11 years in the National Football League.
Well,
that's called first-class problems, though.
Yeah, like with the owners, that's your problem.
I hear what you're saying, but
it still hurts. It feels
real
bad. I'm with you. Exactly. It
doesn't
make it hurt less.
Exactly.
So Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. The voice you're hearing that's not Key is Chris Canty sitting in for Key today. So, guys, this is what Jim Irsay told The Athletic about Carson Wentz this offseason, right? Ready for this one? I wish Carson well. Wait till you hear the rest of this, lies. Okay, ready for this? I think he has a chance to go into a different environment and play great in Washington. Uh-huh, you really believe that, Jim? He told The Athletic this at the owners' meeting on Tuesday, obviously. It's just for us, it was something we had to move away from as a franchise. It was very obvious. Now, listen to what he goes on to say, all right? You tell me if you believe he thinks he's going to do well in Washington, Carson Wentz. Jacksonville clearly wasn't an accident. Talking about Urban Meyer now, right?
Mm-hmm.
You search for the right chemistry with any team. Football is as important as any sport there is, meaning chemistry in football. I think it's probably more important. If that chemistry is off, if it isn't there, it can be extremely detrimental and lower performance to agree that is stunning, you know, and shocking. We had to move away from him as a franchise. It was obvious. And here's the thing, guys. Frank Reich stuck his neck out for Carson Wentz. They traded a lot to go get him. And he was supposed to be the dude who believed in Wentz more than anyone else. 1 year later, after Wentz was top 10 in QBR, right? But he saw how he folded down the stretch. And, Chris, there had to be other things going on for Frank Reich to be like, we're good.
No, you're right, Max. And I think the part that you're reading about Jacksonville, you may be misinterpreting, because you're taking that to mean Urban Meyer and that dumpster fire that was the Jags for the majority of the season. I think that's about the Colts' performance against the Jaguars.
That's my fault.
Carson Wentz had a 4.3 QBR and had multiple turnovers.
Pardon me. You're absolutely right. Since I read that quote, I had it in my mind. Yeah, Urban Meyer, it was toxic. You need to, but 100% right. That's one of those
How do you lose to Jacksonville in a win and end situation? All the Colts had to do was win that game. Yeah. All they had to do was win a home game against the Raiders. How do you lose both of those games? You bring Carson Wentz in because you think he's going to be an upgrade from Phillip Rivers in order to make the difference in those handful of plays, those handful of throws throughout the game in order to put your team in position to be in the playoffs.
Jay, it's so interesting to me the way I interpreted that because it seems obvious. Like, what, are you an idiot, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe the answer is yes. But when I read that thing, my mind immediately goes to Wentz's influence on the locker room. And when I read the Jacksonville thing, I thought, ooh, bad locker room, bad situation. You got to get the toxicity out of there. Well, but in fact, it shows up on the field in Jacksonville.
Well, it is a bad influence in the locker room when you lose games the way he lost that game. Yeah. I mean, by the way, Jim Irsay told you what time it was, January 25th, with the late night tweet. Don't you guys remember that late night tweet?
Oh, yeah.
You need a QB in offense who can score 30 or more to win in today's game. You can see that clearly when the final eight NFL playoff teams, you need a QB in offense. Like that's what every team had in the final eight of the NFL playoffs. So for me, I never thought Carson Wentz was it. And I still, let's move the ball down the field. Now I look at Ron Rivera and I look at the Commanders and I say, so was that by default? That you got Carson Wentz? Was he just a placeholder? Because there's a part of me that looks at Taylor Heineke, and I'm thinking, man, I kind of like what I see from Taylor Heineke more so than what I see from Carson Wentz. That's me personally. Now, I know Dan Orlovsky, others may argue that, but I see the influence in how Taylor Heineke fights for it, and I see the way other people don't respond to Carson Wentz.
Chris.
That makes me worried about his leadership.
100%, Jay, but I think I kind of like Heineke. He's athletic.
Me too.
You know?
Yeah.
But,
he's a fire to him.
And scrappy, yeah. I think that what it comes down to, I've heard Rivera talk about this a little bit. When you really need something, right, you squint to see what you want to see, right? Like it's hard. The saying goes, it's hard to explain something to someone whose job depends on them not understanding it, right? Mm-hmm. And the reverse of that is, or a corollary at least, is like when you really need something, you can sometimes invent it for yourself. You can imagine that it's a mirage, right? But you think it's real. And I think when they sit down, a quarterback needy team starts to look at tape of Carson Wentz. You're not going to look at the worst moment he ever had. You're just going to review tape. And when you do, you see he's big, he's mobile, he has a big arm, he can make the throws, he can read a defense, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's how these teams, to me, are talking themselves into this guy. Because if you step back and see the big picture, sober, without the goggles on, how could you want him to be your quarterback?
I don't know, Max. And here's the thing that I can't get past. When you see some of the gaffes from Carson Wentz, like some of the lowest of the lows throughout the course of the NFL season, I'm talking about that game against the Jacksonville Jaguars, but I'm also talking about that game against the Tennessee Titans when he has the turnover in the shadow of his own goal line in overtime. He throws the pick to Kevin Byard. Those types of things can't happen in order for your team to win at the highest levels. You got to remember, this team 2 years ago under Phillip Rivers, who was a quarterback that was mediocre at best, I think he finished 17th in QBR that season, they came a goal-to-goal sequence away from beating the Buffalo Bills in Orchard Park in the playoffs. And now you add Carson Wentz.
Phillip Rivers passed away 2 years before that game started.
You add Carson Wentz to this team, and all of a sudden you're talking about the same core guys not being able to get back into the dance. So you have to understand that part of it. And then you also look at what happened with Carson Wentz a couple of years ago in Philly. Jay, I mean, listen, you're talking about a guy that led the NFL in interceptions and only played in 12 games. Mm-hmm. He only played in 12 games. He gave way to Jalen Hurts at the end of it because they realized, you know what, this dude ain't it. But beyond the lack of production on the field, and as bad as it looks at times with Carson Wentz, the grumblings, the reports about how he relates to his teammates in the locker room is something that can't ignore. And now you're going to parachute this dude into a situation where you know the Washington Commanders have some issues in that locker room. Look no further than what happened late in the season against the Dallas Cowboys when Daron Payne sucker punched Jonathan Allen on the sideline. Mm-hmm. Carson Wentz is supposed to go into that situation and lead those dudes? Give me
a break.
Started
way before that. They were dead in the water when Nick Foles took over after the Super Bowl, brought him to the playoffs. They weren't responding to Wentz. Wentz was even bad the half year before that, the second half when everyone's saying, oh, he's MVP, they're going to the playoffs. He was bad down the stretch. He was beating terrible teams and turning the ball over. They got lucky. What is our confidence that Carson Wentz and Matt Ryan can lead their new team to the playoffs. That's in 20 minutes. But coming up, one rules change that led to one of the great reunions of last week.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN, Radio Sirius XM Channel 80. Chris Canty in for Key today. And we have Oliver Marmol, Ali Marmol, St. Louis Cardinals manager, with us right now. Skip, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
So when did you, like, something blew my mind the other day, okay? I used to geek out, like, when EA Sports, you know, when they released Madden, but they'd release the baseball game, right?
EA Sports.
MVP 2005 baseball was the last one they released because you could put it in franchise mode and be a GM, right? So, Ali, Skip, they had on Adam Wainwright came up to the majors right around then. Yadier Molina and Albert Pujols. They were all on the same team by, like, 05, 06. Skip, you got these three guys still in your first year as Cardinals manager on your team. It's a mind blower. When did you realize that Pujols was re-signing with the Cardinals, or even that was a possibility?
Man, we were discussing it for the last week or so, and it got real the last few days. But the possibility of that, we never closed that door. Our front office was excited about it. Ownership was excited about it. Our staff and the players. This is an awesome move, not only for the city of St. Louis, but for all of baseball.
Skip, I'm curious to hear from you on how you envision his role, right? Because how you manage expectations, I think, are very important for a player of his caliber. But also, how do you keep him on the field for 162 games as well?
Yeah, we've had great discussions with everybody included. We've collaborated on what Albert's role looks like. And at the end of the day, he's coming here to help us win. And that's him being able to contribute at a lot of different levels. When you think of Albert, this is a guy that, yes, he killed left-handed pitching last year. There's some matchups that are going to be really, really good for him as well. But what he's able to do in that clubhouse, along with his skill set, is absolutely unbelievable. And we're excited for both of those things, his ability to contribute and help us win a World Series, as well as his ability to mentor the next group of guys that are coming through here that are going to help us win for a long time.
Talking with St. Louis managers Ali Marmol on KJM. And Ali, one of the things that I'm envisioning is Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt and Tyler O'Neill and then Albert Pujols in that lineup as a designated hitter. And I just wanted to ask you, from your perspective, how do you anticipate the designated hitter being in the National League now impacting your team, how you deploy your lineup, and then also the strategy that you're going to use throughout the season in terms of being able to manage all the moving parts?
Absolutely. It's a big reason why we went out and got Corey Dickerson and why we got Albert, to be able to use those two accordingly. But when I look at 162 games, we're going to have the ability to use Nolan and get him off his feet, but still have his bat in the lineup. We're going to be able to do the same thing with Goldie over at first and let Albert play first and let Goldie get off his feet for a game or two and also keep his bat in the lineup. We'll be able to rotate some guys in and out where it's a little bit of rest, but we still benefit from seeing four at-bats from him. So it'll be a rotation of guys that come through there, and we'll be smart about keeping all of our guys healthy for 162. But it adds a different element of strategy for sure.
Oliver, you guys are part of one of the most diehard baseball towns in this country. And I'm curious to hear from you what you think the impact of the lockout could be on the sport in general.
Yeah, it was an interesting offseason. There's points in the offseason where I had no idea if we were coming back this year. And it was great to finally get that phone call and realize that we're going to be able to sit down with the players face to face and start the game plan again and do the spring training thing and then head out to the season. Thankfully, they were able to figure it out in a way where it didn't impact the games of the season. So thankfully for the fans, for the sport, for the players, for everybody involved, it was able to get figured out before it got ugly.
Skip, just want to get back to one thing. Do you see Dickerson and Pujols as like a platoon DH situation? You mentioned Pujols hits the lefties and you got a left-handed bat. That's why you mentioned the DH. That's why you guys got Pujols and Dickerson.
Yeah, I see both of those guys being used, in the way you just described. I think there's opportunities depending on matchup for us to veer from that. So at the end of the day, both of those guys, I mean, let's get serious here. I understand the analytics behind everything, but these guys could still hit their own hand in this, right? Like Pujols could still take a righty deep and Dickerson could take a great at bat against the lefty. So it'll be matchup game to game. But when I think of the DH spot, both of those guys will be able to platoon and give us a really good at-bat in order to win.
Skip, tell us about what you're doing with Versus and the impact it's having on sports, please.
Absolutely. My wife and I are super excited as to what our team at Versus is building. We basically wanted to build a tool for the next generation of athletes, their parents and coaches, to not only learn from some of the greatest minds out there, but to be able to have conversation and interact with them, right? If I think of some of the most meaningful conversations I've had in my career that have propelled me forward, where I've left with more direction and confidence, it's the ones where I'm sitting across from someone that has already accomplished what I wanted to accomplish, and they're speaking into the things that I gave them success. They're walking me through some of their fears and doubts, and I've been able to sit there and in mid-conversation stop them and say, hey, can you tell me more about that? Can you tell me about your fears? How'd you navigate that? Can you tell me about your biggest doubts and how you navigated that? So this app mimics that perfectly, where you can take an hour and a half course from Albert. You can take an hour and a half course from Jessica Mendoza, Jenny Finch, and at any point stop them and ask them up to 500 questions and get responses to it in real time.
Ollie Marmol, that's the new manager of your St. Louis Cardinals. Big responsibility. The Cardinals are every 15 years are like a game under 500, and otherwise they win about 90-something games a season. Youngest manager in Major League Baseball at 35. Good luck, Skip. Looking forward to watching your team this season.
Good luck, Skip.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you for having me. Talk soon.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Call or click today. Let's get back to the NFL. Take it away, Evan.
Yeah, so these are quarterbacks' confidence, the level that they will lead their new team to the playoffs in their first season. Chris Canty, Carson Wentz, 0-50 to the max, leading the Commanders to the playoffs this year.
Man, y'all know the answer to this. It's zero. How can you have any confidence that Carson Wentz is going to lead the Commanders to the playoffs, man? I just don't see it. As much as I love Ron Rivera and the culture that he's trying to establish, Carson Wentz has proven himself to be an absolute coach killer. I got Doug Peterson fired in Philadelphia. You got Frank Reich going into 2022.
Frank Reich,
that
ain't going to be me. See you later.
Frank Reich going into 2022 on the hot seat. Like, I don't think this ends well for the Washington Commanders. It's certainly not going to end well for Ron Rivera. And I have a hard time believing that Carson Wentz is going to be a starter after the 2022 year.
I'll say zero. Look, it's official. This show is a Carson Wentz hater show. If you're listening to it, just it's okay. We all feel the same way about Carson Wentz. What, are you still somewhat?
Yeah. No.
Or you want to say being
it's
a realist,
hater.
Whatever it
it's
is.
It's not hater, no, because hater does imply that you're choosing to focus on the negative, that there's something good there, but you're ignoring that you're hating. I'm saying we acknowledge what Carson Wentz. He had a good bounce back season. It's what we're doing with Carson Wentz. I used to be considered a Carson Wentz hater, and it turned out I was just sober.
But see, I don't call what happened last season a good bounce-back season.
Agreed on that point.
I don't call it that.
He played better football last year than he did in years. Let's
What's
put it that way.
What's that to have to say?
All right, let's move it along. Zero. My answer is zero, by the way, Evan, in case you're wondering.
How about the guy replacing him in Indy, Matt Ryan, 0-50 to the max. He'll lead the Colts to the playoffs. Chris?
I'm going to go to the max.
Yes.
It's a low bar to clear. It's the AFC South. You're talking about a two-horse race between the Tennessee Titans and the Indianapolis Colts. And so I'm rolling with Matt Ryan. I think he's clearly a better quarterback at this stage in his career than Ryan Tannehill and what he's bringing to the table. And then when I think about the defense that the Colts have, playmakers on all three levels. Kenny Moore on the back end. You got Darius Leonard in the middle of it, and then DeForest Buckner up front. And then, oh, by the way, they added some pass rush up front as well in Yannick Ngakoue. So I feel good about the direction that the Indianapolis Colts are going in. They just needed a quarterback to go ahead and bring it on home for their offense. They got that now in Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I'll say to the max, but, man, you have to break down Ryan Tannehill to build Matt Ryan up, huh? That's interesting. Are there still some holes that they need to fill out from a wideout perspective? Sure. But I like the way Matt Ryan leads. Even the way Matt Ryan handled the situation in Atlanta, he handled it like a pro. I like those communication skills and everything I've been hearing about Carson Wentz and the way that locker room was. I'm interested to see how Matt Ryan can elevate, so I believe in Matt Ryan.
I am a 50. I don't think Matt Ryan at this point is better than Ryan Tannehill. He does certain things. He does certain things that you want to see from a quarterback more. You think of him as more of a pocket passer. I would take Tannehill over Ryan right now if I had to just talk about next season. Yes, I would. I don't think it's by a lot, but I would take Tannehill. I think he's become a little underrated because he had bad playoff appearance. But look, the AFC, guys, the AFC might
sometimes
have
the fact that you can say things with a straight face,
it glossed over
it. Bothers me.
I don't think that's controversial.
At home in the playoffs?
I don't think that's controversial.
You say it, and you didn't even look at it.
I don't think that's controversial. What I just said, I don't think it's controversial. But anyway,
thinking is
there are the AFC, there are legit four teams for the first time ever might come out of the same division. Look at the AFC West. I only think there's one winner coming out of the South. I think that's probably going to be Tennessee, maybe Indianapolis. You guys think a little more of Matt Ryan than I do at this point in his career. I think he's pretty good. I don't think he's as good as you guys do.
I mean, I can't believe you just guys glossed over the fact that we came up with a great Wheel of Fortune before and after Matt Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
Well, that's a
can we just mark it down that Max Saints?
Yeah, I take Matt Ryan as not as good as Ryan Tannehill anymore. And by the way,
which
guys,
Ryan do you want?
Yeah. That's not crazy.
And by the way, guys, Matt Ryan at this point
don't
in his
please
career,
don't triple down.
He got traded for a third round
help
pick.
Help himself.
And people, they could have gotten better. Not much
what
better.
What would you get for Ryan Tannehill?
Well, I wouldn't trade for either one to tell you.
I'd give up a YMCA membership.
I think Best Buy
gift card.
I think Ryan Tannehill, if he was available in a trade, would get you more than Matt Ryan.
Right.
Well, he led the team to the number one seed without Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Listen, if Tannehill didn't have a bad playoff game, you'd be thinking of him very differently.
Thank you, Max. He had one bad playoff game. That's what leaves the taste in our mouth.
Okay, Evan, let's see how that pans out next year.
One quarterback won an MVP, one didn't.
Yeah, but 100 years ago, dude.
That's why I said age.
100 years ago.
You're only saying it because of age.
I am president of the Matt Ryan fan club. Yeah. I love Matt Ryan, but I don't think saying Ryan Tannehill is a better quarterback is that crazy of a take.
It's not controversial.
I think we played better, worse, the same. They're the same.
Right.
So they're not the same. They're in the same tier.
I'm going
They're in the same tier, and whether you prefer one or the other is
now
your
they're
taste.
In the same tier.
Yeah, I never said. Clearly Ryan Tannehill's better. I said I take him over Matt.
You said
Ryan.
I think Ryan Tannehill's
better
than Matt Ryan
by a little bit. Same tier.
He's also a lot younger.
Yeah.
Evan, please stop backing him.
I'm just
right
saying,
now.
One quarterback has been a passenger his entire career. The Ooh. Other one has been a force multiplier.
Not recently.
I'm just saying.
Not recently, though. I'm not talking about Goodness Matt gracious. Ryan 10 years ago or 5 years ago.
You win.
Of course.
You win.
He's got the final word. He's right. He got the final word.
Let's move on. Let's move on. You know, Chris mentioned guys who are passengers on teams. Let's go to another guy who's been a passenger on the team his whole life, Russell Wilson.
You are the biggest Russell Wilson hater.
I am a passenger now.
You are such a Russell Wilson hater, Evan. That is a definition of
hater. Russell Wilson was a passenger on their two Super Bowl teams. Let's just be honest. 0-50 to the max that he can actually lead the Broncos to the playoffs. Chris.
Oh, I got to go to the max. Absolutely. The Denver Broncos are going to be contending.
This year.
Ridiculous.
This year. Yeah, this year.
In the AFC West, you're at two to the max.
This year.
Who's going to miss the AFC West?
They are going to compete with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Who's going to miss the playoffs in the AFC West?
Well, I mean, we can start with the L.A. Chargers. They ain't been in the playoffs since Justin Herbert been the quarterback.
That.
So
yeah,
I'm not buying into the Chargers.
I'm backing off that one.
The Chargers have got to show me until I'm going to believe in that. And with the Las Vegas.
They'll show you. Just sit tight.
Okay, we'll find out. With the Las Vegas Raiders, I'm going to take a wait-and-see approach. I like the addition of Devontae Adams. But with all the pieces that Denver has in place, a top-five defense, receiving core that could rival everyone. Yeah, I'm to the max on it. I'm buying in.
I'll go to the max. But, Max, we've talked about this. This could be the first time in NFL history that every team from the AFC West makes the playoffs.
It's the AFC West. I'm hard-pressed to go over 50 for anyone because, as you said, when four teams can all legit make the playoffs from the same division, it's tough for me to go 100 on anyone, even maybe the Chiefs. Well, I go 100 on the Chiefs. Yeah. Okay, let's move it along.
Exactly. All right, Mitch Trubisky, 0-50 to the max that he can lead the Steelers to the playoffs in his first season. He's been to the playoffs twice in his 4 years as a starter. Go ahead,
I'm going to say 50, but it has nothing to do with Mitch Trubisky, and it has everything to do with Mike Tomlin. Just because he's never been below 515 years as the head coach in Pittsburgh. I don't have a lot of confidence in Trubisky. I know a lot of people are saying that he's Ryan Tannehill light. I'm not buying into that. I'm also not buying into the fact that the Pittsburgh Steelers are done at the quarterback position this offseason because I do think they could be players early on in the NFL draft for a difference maker.
So I'm going to go 0. Like, and Evan's jumping in my ear saying, you're going to look stupid. I'm like, all right, I don't care. I'll look stupid then. I don't believe in Mitch Trubisky. I do believe in Mike Tomlin. But I don't think with how loaded this conference is that they are going to make the playoffs this year.
I know. I wish there was a 25 because I hear what you're saying, Jay. I'm going to go 50 because Tomlin is going to be competitive. So once you're in a 17-game schedule, you're 9-8. You're right there, probably knocking on the playoff door. You get lucky in a couple games. Maybe you're 11 wins.
So what happened this year?
I got to go 50 because the AFC West is there. The North is very competitive, but the West is also there. I think it'll be a wild card. Probably not, but I can't go 0, so I got to go 50.
All right, I'm going to skip Deshaun Watson. I want to get to this one. Trey Lance, not his first year with a new team, but first year as a full-time starter, potentially 0-50 to the max, Chris, that Trey Lance, if he's the week one starter for the entire season for the 49ers, can lead them to the playoffs.
I'm going to go to the max. I'm going to the max with Trey Lance. I believe in him. I've got conviction on him. And Kyle Shanahan says that he believes in him because he traded 3 first-round draft picks to move up to get him when he had a quarterback that took him to the Super Bowl. So I'm buying into Trey Lance. And it probably has more to do with his legs than his arm because we know that Shanahan has one of the most innovative run games in the National Football League. And then you add a quarterback that can be featured as a part of that run game. Good luck trying to defend that. Mm. So I'm going to the max. Trey Lance, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, that big, powerful offensive line, and then a top-flight defense. The max.
I'll go 50. I believe it's trending upwards to the max, but I'll go 50 just because I haven't seen it yet. Like, I need to see it more consistently. And what is Kyle Shanahan supposed to say? I mean, he's the one that invested so much in this guy. And I think he's talented. I just have to see it before
I'm with Jay again because, like, but I'm on the other side of it. Like, the last one, the Steelers, I can't go 0.
So you're 75
on it?
So,
like, this, like, this I'm going to go 50 just because last year 3 teams did make it out of the NFC West. Remember? Yep. And the only soft spot is Seattle. The Niners are the team that always get – who are the best teams in the NFC? People leave the Niners off. They're right there with all the best teams in the NFC. I'm going to go 50.
All right. To the Max is brought to you by Toyota Tundra. Make a powerful statement every time you pull up in the pickup. That's 5 changing the game. That's the all-new Tundra Toyota. Let's go places. You guys mentioned Kyle Shanahan, what he said about Trey Lance. Take a listen to the sound because there's something else he says about Jimmy G that's pretty interesting. Here you go.
That's why we looked into trading Jimmy. I mean, because we obviously believe that Trey can be a starter, and we're ready to do that. But if we can't upgrade our team in another way, we're not just going to get rid of a good quarterback because we have other quarterbacks on the roster. I mean, quarterbacks are really hard to come by. Some teams don't have any at all. And the fact that we have three that we're happy with, that is a good thing. You always want to upgrade your team. And usually only one guy can play. And we know we have some guys, all guys that are capable of starting, which Jimmy's done a great job for us. We brought Trey here to be that eventually. And I think that'll be sooner than later. But when Jimmy gets his surgery and we can't upgrade our team by getting some good picks until surgery, until people feel good about that, I'm all right with that. I mean, we're not just getting rid of him to get rid of him. I mean, Jimmy's a good player that we all really like as a person and as a teammate. And we're going to wait to see whatever helps the Niners the most.
How do you not want to play for Kyle Shanahan? I just love somebody being fully transparent and real about the situation. Yeah, Jimmy G, you're a great human being. You're a good player. Like the way you've handled this. You've been first class. You know, you've been responsible. But this is what we're investing in as it relates to our future. We would have moved you, but we're not getting the return value we think we can get for you. So until you get healthy, you're on our roster, and you could help us if we need you to. But if not, then we can move you when you're finally there. No, I love that, CeCe. It's real.
You have to love that. And I would appreciate what Jimmy Garoppolo has done since they drafted Trey Lance, because he didn't make it a contention situation when it could have been. He didn't decide that he was going to be standoffish when it came to trying to help Trey Lance develop in the quarterback room. And to the contrary, all we've heard is that it's been a positive relationship between the two. And that bodes well for Jimmy Garoppolo the next place he goes, because other players – guys in that locker room, guys around the National Football League, they know about that kind of stuff. And when you handle yourself like a pro's pro, you garner a level of respect that you otherwise wouldn't get. So just think about Jimmy Garoppolo as the antithesis of what we've seen from Baker Mayfield. That's a good place to be. But as far as San Francisco and Kyle Shanahan showing all of his confidence in Trey Lance, sneaky big pressure on Kyle Shanahan to be right on this decision.
One thing I want to say, think about how Jimmy G didn't get to elevate with the Pats because of Tom Brady, right? It would have been easy for Jimmy G to be salty or spiteful having that experience, but now to still be a professional, say, come on, young fella, I'm going to build you up. This is yours. Like, that says something about his character.
The reason you like what Shanahan did is that kind of honesty that comes from character strength, emotional strength. It's easy to say convenient things to people and not level with them when it's awkward, when it's difficult. When you have the strength and you have nothing to hide, to just be straightforward and honest, it affects people. Mm-hmm. You know, you hear that in Shanahan, the way he's handling this situation. Niners are in a good situation. Like, who's going to be the quarterback? I don't know, two good options. Maybe you keep them both on the roster. Did a two-time MVP just block Joel Embiid from winning his first MVP award? That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.